Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. I got you for the next 2 hours, filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro. Happy Saturday. Happy one and all. Happy to be with you here on a nice, brisk fall Saturday. We've officially turned that. I know it's been fall, technically speaking, for about a month, but the last couple of weeks and the last couple of days in particular, really feeling like fall. We are into pure football weather. Like, it is, it's dark when you wake up. The days of summer and the days of warm weather seem to almost certainly be behind us. So I'm happy to be with you here on a cold Saturday morning. We got a lot to get into. I got some Eagles thoughts, some Phillies thoughts, some national sports thoughts. Shohei Ohtani had one of the all-time great performances maybe in the history of sports last night. Maybe we'll touch on that before we get out of here. But where I want to begin this morning, where we begin on most of these fall Saturdays, is with the Philadelphia Eagles. Pretty pivotal game tomorrow in Minnesota. Eagles headed out there today, U.S. Bank Stadium, to take on the Minnesota Vikings in a game that it's one of the tougher games I've ever had to try and get a read on. It is really, there is very little, almost nothing I could see tomorrow that would surprise me in this game. My question I want to post to everyone out there, again, at 215-592-9494. Are you entering tomorrow's game with the cover off the panic button? Are you entering tomorrow's game ready to say that if they lose, if they look ugly, if things still don't quite look right the way we saw against the Giants, the way we saw against the Denver Broncos, in particular in the second half, are you ready to hit the panic button? I am. What say you? 215-592-9494. And I know it's week seven. There is no more overused term in all of sports than this is a must-win when it's not a must-win, right? Like, the Eagles could very well lose tomorrow's game, drop to 4-3, still be a playoff team, and then there's still a lot of football to be played regardless. But this is about as pivotal of a game as it gets in Week 7, in my opinion. First off, like, they've had 10 days to get ready for this game. They've had 10 days to get ready for this game. Thursday night football, you hear all coaches and players say, you really can't install anything new. You really can't. There's not a lot of game plan in particular for that week. Like, having your first loss of the season, having the Eagles lose their first their first game to the Broncos in particular, leading into that Thursday night game against the Giants. I know we all thought they would just skate by because it was the Giants and they would get a free, easy win and they would correct some of these issues in this little mini bye week they had. But it really was the worst time scheduling-wise of the season to have it. Every team plays a Thursday night game on that really short week at some point. None of the players and coaches really love it. It's not ideal for a product. But this is life in the modern-day NFL. It has been for a while to get a product on TV. And the fact that they had all those problems happen in the Broncos game, I kind of chalk that up as just a continuation right into the Giants game. But this is a game you've had time to install new plays. You've had time to really prepare. You've had time to practice for this game, and it's not a crash course. And there's no excuses. There's no more excuses to look bad tomorrow. There are no more excuses to have all these sloppy penalties, to have the run game not in order, to have the offensive play calling look like you're unprepared. Like, all the stuff we've been seeing with this team, there are no excuses to look bad tomorrow. They have had extra time. The offset of the short week is you've now had extra time to prepare for the Minnesota Vikings. There are no excuses. If they look bad again tomorrow, if they drop to 4-3, it is officially time to worry and hit the panic button with the Eagles. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Reason number two, and this is the biggest storyline heading into the game. We will talk a lot about Carson Wentz throughout the course of these next 2 hours. But at the end of the day, they are playing a backup quarterback. Carson Wentz or otherwise, they're not facing J.J. McCarthy tomorrow, right? They are facing a backup quarterback, which should always be an advantage to the other team. The Eagles are going on the road tomorrow, and the Vikings haven't been bad. They're 3-2 on the season. Eagles coming into this week at 4-2. Vikings have already had their bye. The Eagles enter this game as 2-point favorites on the road, right? 2-point favorites on the road. That line is telling you that even as poor as the Eagles have looked the past couple of weeks, right? The Eagles should still win this game. The Eagles should still, like, it should not be that much of a challenge to the defense. Carson Wentz has played, I'll say, decent. They just came off their, like, two-leg European trip. They won one. They lost one. And Wentz has been playing for a couple of weeks. That should be an advantage to the Eagles, right? At the end of the day, when you're playing a backup quarterback, you get favored on the road for a reason, and that should be an advantage to the Eagles. And if the Eagles' defense tomorrow cannot hold Carson Wentz in check, if this Eagles offense cannot outscore Carson Wentz tomorrow, then there's a real problem. Then that's when you start shifting your expectations of this season to say, okay, maybe they'll still make the playoffs. Maybe they'll still win the NFC East. But is this team really the Super Bowl contender we thought they were? They haven't exactly showed us that through 6 weeks. Certainly not the last 2 weeks we've seen. But now they've had time to reset, regroup, similar to last season when things didn't look great the first month of the season. They had that bye week in week 5, and they came out looking like a new look, new identity Philadelphia Eagles, right? The actual bye week this time around, week 9, I believe it is, closer to the middle of the season, but you had the mini bye here, and you had it just 1 week later than you had the actual bye a season ago. If it does not look substantially different, if they are not able to go into Minnesota and win tomorrow, if they are not able to do this against a backup quarterback in Carson Wentz, then there's a real problem. I think you are fully within your right as a fan to panic. I would be doing so myself. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. And the last thing here is the Vikings' run defense so far this season has been a real weakness. They are 24th in the league. I'll repeat, 24th in the league this year in terms of yards per game. They allow more than 100 yards per game on the ground. For what it's worth, the Eagles are tied for 26th, so it's not like there's great run defense in either side of the ball. Maybe you should take the run total run yards over if that's offered as a prop on your favorite sports betting app. The Vikings' run defense has not been good. If they can't get Saquon Barkley going in tomorrow's game, there is a real, real problem. If Kevin Petullo, Nick Sirianni, however many cooks are in that kitchen when the offensive game plan is installed and put together, if they can't do it tomorrow against this team in this spot, then there is a real, real problem. I was in, I think, this time slot exactly just a couple of weeks ago, and I did an entire show about how I was concerned about the Eagles' run game as a whole. And that was, I think, prior to either the Rams or the Buccaneers game. And since then, we have seen Eagles career lows for Saquon Barkley in multiple weeks. He's coming off a game against the Giants where he ran for 58 yards, and that's the most he's had in a month. That is the highest run total Saquon Barkley has had in a month, was the 58 yards against the Giants. He went for 30 against the Broncos, 43 against the Buccaneers, 46 against the Rams. By far, his best game of the season was in Kansas City with 88. Guy still hasn't gone for 100 yards this season. Still has not done it. And I'm understanding that it's not all Saquon Barkley's fault. This offensive line has struggled about as much as we've seen in a while. You know, Dickerson's been hurt. Maybe, you know, Steen trying to fill in for Mekhi Becton hasn't been quite as good. Doesn't feel like Mailata and Lane Johnson have been quite as good as they have been in years past. That whole offensive line as a unit has not been as strong as we have seen for what feels like an eternity here in Philadelphia, right? That offensive line combined with everything else going on, it all starts there. It all starts in the trenches on that offensive front. And that is having a massive, massive impact on a guy who had an MVP-type season a year ago, when we were legitimately surprised when Saquon Barkley would go for fewer than 100 yards a year ago. If he does it tomorrow in week 7, it'll be the first time all year. This is the game he needs to get going. He's had a mini bye week. This whole team has had a mini bye week. This offensive line has had a little bit of time to rest their bodies, put the play calls in, whatever. If you can't get Saquon going against this team in this spot, it is a huge, huge problem. A huge, huge problem. And I think that needs to be the game plan going into tomorrow. Run the ball down their throats, and hopefully you can actually refine your identity, refine what you're good at, refine what got you to the Super Bowl last season, and try and turn it around against this team. I think the opportunity is great for the Eagles tomorrow. I think that this is the type of game that can really, you know, we talk about pivotal games in an NFL season. This is the type of game that can get this season back on track. I really believe that. But it has to start tomorrow. And if it does not look good tomorrow, if Saquon goes for another 50, 60 yards, this offensive line looks banged up, if the Eagles are playing from behind late and they leave Carson Wentz in the game, and God forbid they lose, I think it's more than fair to hit the panic button. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. And one last thing here I'll reiterate. As I said off the top, I have very little read on tomorrow's game. Justin and I will both give our official predictions on the game at the end of the show, but it's one of the few times I can truly say I'm not sure there is anything I could see from the Eagles tomorrow that would surprise me in any way. For the past however many years, since I've been working here, I think, I tweet out, and on the show I do prior to the game, I always give out a score prediction either the day before or the day of, and this is one of those that it's really tough to get a read on. Like I said, the Eagles are favored by 2 in this game. Over-under is 44. I wouldn't be shocked if there were 20 points in this game scored. Wouldn't be shocked if there were 70 points in this game scored. I'm exaggerating a little bit, obviously, but wouldn't be shocked if Saquon Barkley ran for 30 yards. Wouldn't be shocked if he went for 130 yards. It is a true wild card, and I think the Eagles need this game for their own self-confidence, for this fan base's self-confidence, for the spot that it's in. Absolutely, absolutely need to see a different team on the football field tomorrow in Minnesota. And if not, I think I'm entering the game with the cover off the panic button. I'm ready to hit it if things go awry. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. Now, before we get to the phones here in just a little bit, Justin Morgenstein producing this morning's show. Justin, what's your read on this game as a whole? As the week has built up to it, the beginning of the week, we're still kind of reeling in all the Phillies news. We had the Phillies press conference on Thursday, but now that it feels like the dust has settled on that, it's been 10 days since the last, or close to 10 days, 9 days from right now, since the last Eagles game. That's when the Phillies season ended. We're officially in football mode here, and we've all shifted. We've all pivoted our mindset. It's time for the football team to pivot here tomorrow. What's your feel on this?
Yeah, if you were to tell me, when they started 4-0 a few weeks ago, how important this game was going to be, I wouldn't have believed you. And it's crucial going into this week, because if they lose this game and then you go back into the Giants, who are essentially playing off of vibes and playing off of house money here with Jackson Dart and Scatterbo, and they're back flipping on everybody. Like, you have a chance to go into the bye week at 500, which seemed absolutely impossible after they start 4-0. So, and then after the bye, what, you have the Packers and the Lions? Like, it doesn't,
schedule doesn't get much easier. Like,
no.
The run defense thing that I hit on, I'll let you finish here in a sec. Like, this is one of the worst run defenses they will play all season. If Saquon, if the offensive line, if the run game, if the play calling, everything that feeds into it cannot figure itself out tomorrow, that's when you really start to wonder if it's ever going to correct itself in any way, shape, or form all year.
Yeah, and I think this defense as a whole for the Vikings is gettable because, you know, as much as we like to talk about the Eagles' struggles with pretty much everything right now and that they don't do anything particularly well, the numbers actually do suggest that Jalen and the passing offense hasn't been too bad against the blitz this year. And as we know, Brian Flores, big blitz guy, likes to do a lot of exotic things on defense. So I think that between that and the run game, which you said, the Vikings don't have a great run defense, and it just feels like every single week we're saying Saquon's due for one. He's going to, you know, has to pop a home run, you know, at some point here. They have to be able to get this Vikings defense at some rate. And, you know, it's big on the other side of the ball that Quinion's playing, because if not, I don't know who was covering Jefferson and Addison on the other side there. So good thing that he's playing, and we'll see, you know, how Landon Dickerson looks on the ankle. It just hasn't looked right all year. And that offensive line just needs to have a get-right game. We talk about the running game and Saquon needing to get a get-right game. You know, this offensive line needs a little confidence shot its way. And I'm sure that with this extended, you know, 10-day between games period here, Jeff Stoutland's done everything in his power to kind of scheme up a way for them to be able to get some, you know, key blocks off for Saquon and be able to open up the run game a little bit. But it just feels like this is a spot where if they don't look good this week, and even if they win ugly and there's nothing they can really hang their hat on, you're going into that Giants game thinking, man, like, we could be in some trouble here.
A couple things I was thinking about as you were talking there. Number one is the Giants of all teams. I don't know. I can't figure out if it's a good thing or a bad thing that they're getting the Giants rematch so close together. Kind of would prefer, I think my official take is I kind of would prefer that they played them later in the season. A, because I just think divisional games are more exciting later in the year. Like, it's kind of bizarre to me that they're going to enter the bye and just be done with the New York Giants, even if they're not the rival and the competition that they used to be. That's always been kind of weird to me. And, you know, if you have an injury on one team and they're not ready to go last week, they're very likely not be able to go again. Like, I kind of just like when divisional games are spread out in general. But on top of that, I would have preferred that Giants rematch be in November or December. I mean, it is insane. It is insane to think. Let's say the Eagles do not look good tomorrow against the Vikings. Let's say that they really can't figure it out and they're still looking sloppy and this team just needs the bye week in the worst possible way. Is there a way, shape, or form in the year 2025 that the Philadelphia, I don't mean to look ahead a week here, that the Eagles get swept by the New York Giants just based on scheduling? That they would pick them off twice in, what, 17 days? Like, that is insane to me.
Yeah,
that,
and you looked at the matchup going in the last week, or I guess 10 days ago, and you think to yourself, like, how do the Giants score the football on the offensive side of things when you have neighbors out?
Scatabu runs it in three times.
Exactly.
To start there.
And you have Jackson Dart, who, you know, as well as he's played, just absolutely reckless at the quarterback position at times. And he's realistically probably going to get himself hurt at some point. And then you go into a potential, you know, another matchup going into the bye week, and the Giants are playing with, think about it, they have nothing to lose here. They had zero expectations going into the year. They actually do have a really good defensive front, which dominated the Eagles' offensive line in that game, which was a big reason why they won again. And if those guys are healthy, I think there's no reason why that can't be another close game.
215-592-9494. Are you entering tomorrow's game with the cover off the panic button? Are you ready to hit it if this team does not look good, if this team finds a way to lose in Minnesota? I fully am. It's week seven. Sometimes who you play is equally, if not, you know, sometimes the spot in which you play a team, I should say, is equally, if not more important than who you are playing. And I think given who you are playing against a backup quarterback, in particular on this mini bye week, which is the longest break this team will have with the exception of the bye they got coming up in 2 weeks, they've lost two in a row. This is where this season needs to pivot. And against a team that you absolutely can do damage against on the ground. This is a game that a year ago the Eagles would have had a team that they would have had no issue handling. And here I am sitting with anxiety a little more than 24 hours before the game. Should not be this way. They need to figure it out. And then one other thing. as we were kind of looking a little bit ahead, Justin and I were, in terms of the schedule. This is why the W's and L's game that we do when the schedule comes out and before the season is so tricky, right? We all sat here when the schedule came out, looked at those first four games, Cowboys, Chiefs, Rams, Buccaneers, and we said, all right, escape 2-2, similar to last year, and then they'll get the ball rolling in October. Should be able to handle the Broncos. Two Giants, that's two wins right there. Don't worry about it. So they win, they go 4-0 in those first four games. Doesn't look great, but they, in some way, shape, or form, find ways to score more points than the other team. That's about all the complimentary stuff you can say about some of those games. The Chiefs win in Kansas City, that was a big win. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But they had some freak stuff happen in the Rams game with the multiple blocked field goals, and then against the Buccaneers, they tried to cough that game away late in the second half. Now that you've lost to the Broncos and the Giants, if they lose one of these next two games, it almost offsets the start you had, right? Like, that 4-0 start, we almost thought, oh my goodness, this team's ahead of schedule. If the goal is to get to 12, 13, 14 wins, this team is ahead of the pace. They got the hard part out of the way, but it's almost as if they got the hard part out of the way and they just further exposed themselves to their weaknesses. I do really, really worry. And it sounds so elementary. We spent all offseason talking about it. I do really worry about this team being exposed in a sense to, like, you can stop this team's run game. You know, the Chiefs did it pretty well in the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts threw the ball really, really well. The defense played incredible and they coasted to a Super Bowl victory. The run game has not looked the same since. And this team has not looked the same since. And the most difficult thing to do, maybe in all of sports, is being the defending Super Bowl champion and looking, you know, maintaining that success the following season. I would argue it is the most difficult sport to replicate success year to year because guys' careers are so short. There's so much turnover, the salary cap, all these, the draft, all these factors where the NFL sets up for new blood year after year after year after year after year. And it's what makes teams like the Patriots and the Chiefs so in their own class because they were able to replicate success year after year after year. And the one thing that Howie Roseman has not done, not proven in his career as an NFL general manager, is he's now won two Super Bowls, virtually unprecedented to do it with everything that has gone into his career, being thrown to the side of the building, coming back out, winning two Super Bowls with two entirely different coach and quarterback combinations. And obviously the first Super Bowl that was supposed to be with Carson Wentz, it ended up being with Nick Foles. We all know the story. The one thing he has not done is been able to replicate that success the following year. This has not been a poster Howie Roseman offseason. Another guy who's going to be on the other side of the ball tomorrow, who I would have, and I know a lot of people would have loved to have back, was Isaiah Rodgers. Like, they have absolutely missed Isaiah Rodgers here this season. He's going to be playing for the Vikings tomorrow, not the Eagles. And so the one thing that Howie Roseman has not done in his career, you think about 2018, you think about this season thus far, and I think there's still time to correct it, is they haven't looked the same as the defending Super Bowl champs. They haven't looked the same with the X on their back. That's a concern to me. That is a huge, huge concern to me because there is so much precedent and it has looked so difficult for other teams to do when they win the Super Bowl.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. for cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Right? Once the quarterback gets paid, it's harder to build the rest of your team. It just is. And history tells us with Howie Roseman, maybe he's set up for a huge bounce back 2026. The Eagles don't really maintain their lows either. They're a much more positive than negative organization. But history tells us on a sample size of two that based upon what they did in 2017, I know they had a freak run to the divisional round and the Alshon drop and how that season ended, but it was kind of a freak run at the end. They did not look good for the majority of that season, kind of until Foles took over again. I don't want that to be the case of the 2025 Eagles. A lot of comparisons this week and for the past couple of weeks to this looking like the 2023 Eagles. I actually think more about 2018. I think it's a more applicable comparison. And so I ask you again, one last time, 215-592-9494, where we begin the show today. As you enter tomorrow's game against the Minnesota Vikings, are you pulling the cover off the panic button as you watch this game? Are you entering this game saying, if they don't look good tomorrow against this team in this spot, are you officially concerned? I don't know how you couldn't be. What say you? 215-592-9494. Now, coming up next, if you missed the first question to Jordan Mailata this week when he was on the afternoon show, you will not want to miss this. A very, very, very interesting answer or non-answer. Just the entire demeanor around this question I found fascinating. Spike asked him what the Eagles do well. Well, his answer, we will play that for you next. It is Buzz with you, filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Justin Morgenstein producing, just getting started here on a Saturday morning. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. I got you till 10 a.m. this morning. Happy to be hanging out with you. And again, our question to begin the show here this morning is, are you entering tomorrow's Eagles game with a cover off the panic button? Are you ready to hit the panic button at any moment? I know we're a very emotional, hot and cold type of sports city, and there are some people willing to hit the panic button after a bad half in week one, but I'm talking like the real panic button. Like, are you willing to look big picture and say that if the Eagles cannot figure it out in this game in particular, if they don't look good in this spot coming off a Thursday night loss to the Giants, there's a real problem. Like, this is a real problem, and everything everyone said through the first 4 weeks of this team just finds ways to win, and I'm not worried about them, and they end up on the right side of the win column every single time, that was all nonsense and BS, and the unsustainable factor that we all saw with our eyes, maybe some of us were more willing to admit it than others, that was always there. Because three losses in a row here to the Broncos, Giants, and then the Vikings tomorrow, with the Giants coming to the link next week, would be a horrendous way for this season to fly off the rails in the month of October here. Should also note, I think I might have incorrectly said in the open that The Eagles have more time to prepare for the Vikings here. Should be noted, the Vikings are coming off a bye as well. They had their two-week European trip. They're coming off a bye, coming home from Europe here. So this will be their first time playing in the United States in 3 weeks. Might be their first time at home in like a month. So they did have extra time to play for this too. J.J. McCarthy, still not right. I'm kind of not worried about it. Like they had a little bit more time to prepare for the Eagles. Eagles had a long week to prepare for this game too. And the Eagles are a better team than the Vikings. The Eagles have their starting quarterback. They do not. There is no excuse to still look poor tomorrow. And I'm willing to hit the panic button if this thing does not look right tomorrow. 215-592-9494. In just a minute, we'll let you hear. It was the very first question that Spike asked Jordan Mailata in his weekly hit with the afternoon show this week. Thought it was very, very interesting the way he answered it. Get to that in a minute, but first let's go to Michael in Newcastle, Delaware. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm all right. I feel like if we go Sunday and watching the game, I mean, the Eagles, for me, has always been a fourth quarter team. And my concern this year is that through the first half, we have looked better than the second half. Coming out of halftime, it looks like...
I was going to say, they haven't played a good fourth quarter in about a month.
Yeah, I know. That's past years, fourth quarter was okay. If we're in reach, we can definitely get it done. Now, if we're going into the fourth quarter up points, I'm concerned. I mean... And my major thing, if I'm going to hit that panic button on Sunday, if Carson Wentz comes out there and he's dotting us up, I mean, I understand Carson Wentz, he's decent quarterback, but we're going to face a lot harder competition.
Well, and he's a backup at the end of the day. Like, there's a reason why the Eagles are favored in this game. Wentz is fine. He's a suitable backup in this league. But this is not 2017 MVP candidate Carson Wentz the Eagles are going up against. The Eagles of a few weeks ago, the Eagles of last year, the Eagles that we all should believe they can be, should not have a terribly hard time winning this game tomorrow.
Should not. That's the same thing I said when we were playing the Giants. Rookie quarterback, we shouldn't have a hard time. And, I mean, Jackson Dart made us look miserable. So my panic button is going to be hit depending on how good Carson Wentz does against the Eagles. I mean, our secondary is atrocious. I mean, outside of Q, anybody lined up on CB2 is bound to have a good game.
No, I 100% agree with you, Michael, and I appreciate the call. The defense has been a huge, huge problem. I mean, not only is the secondary has been a problem, the pass rush really hasn't been there. The defensive line just hasn't. Like, we've joked about this, but it's really true. What bizarre world are we living in where, like, the strength of the team has somehow become the linebackers after 50 years of everyone complaining they have no linebackers? The defense looks very, very incomplete. Vic Fangio is, I think, a really smart defensive mind. I think he gets the most out of that group, generally speaking. I thought he was the MVP of Super Bowl 59, but man, oh man, it is a real debate. Like, what is a bigger problem between the offense, the defense, the offensive line, the defensive line? I personally probably more concerned with the offense and that offensive line, because I think if that side of the ball got right, the defense could at least situationally figure it out. This offense right now doesn't even sustain drives long enough to get that defense a breather half the time. So if I could fix one, I think it would be on the offensive side of the ball. But it is a very legitimate debate, and Michael there brings up a good point. 215-592-9494. Now, speaking of that offensive line, Jordan Mailata, who every Tuesday at 4 o'clock joins the WIP afternoon show for his weekly hit. This was a very, very interesting answer. It was the first question off the bat. It became Spike's favorite question of the week. He asked Jordan Mailata, he asked Shiel Kapadia, asked Mike Mayock. Felt like he was asking everyone. The question was simple. Just give us one thing the Eagles do well right now. This is Jordan Mailata, generally a pretty positive, well-spoken guy, seemingly caught off guard by the question. Take a listen.
What do you think is something that you guys are doing well right now? Like, what?
That's a change up.
Yeah. What is something that so far you are pleased with? So not content, but pleased with so far that you are doing so far this year with the team?
Man, great question. I would probably say how we're handling our up tempo, no huddle, you know, play style.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I also think how we've handled the red zone every trip, you know. Mm. By that last game, right, that was the only time we didn't score a touchdown. I thought we've been capitalizing on every chance that we've gotten in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say we've done that really well. I would also say I think by that last game, probably protecting the ball. It's really hard. Really hard question there.
I do. I mean, that is not great. Saying it's really hard to answer one thing that the defending Super Bowl champion does well through 6 weeks. Justin, he was like baffled by the question.
Yeah, well, I listened to not only Jordan's answer, but every single one of those answers when Spike asked the question this week.
No one had anything.
And it always starts with like a loud sigh. And
it's like,
then
you're
it's
right.
Like,
there
yeah,
is nothing.
In inflective sort of thinking of, I don't really exactly know, but I'm going to try to give you something. So, yeah, it was obviously eye-opening from Jordan that's how he answered, and it was eye-opening from a lot of people who cover the NFL very closely on a day-to-day basis and cover the Eagles on a very close perspective as well. So the fact that you really can't name much and they don't have anything to hang their hat on after having probably the greatest rushing offense in the history of the team last year and the best defense in the NFL, like, that's not great.
The difference with Shiel and Mike Mayock is they are analysts paid for their opinion. They're allowed to point out the criticisms, and they don't have to walk into the locker room as a player. Typically, someone on the team can always point to something that we, the outsider, do not see. We're practicing hard. We're doing this right. We just haven't executed. It doesn't translate. There's something that usually the player on the team can put a positive spin on, and whether we, the fan, whether we, the analyst, whoever we are, buys it or not, that's up to us. But for Jordan Mailata to have that sigh, for him to end his entire answer, sound like he was in pain trying to come up with something. He was like, oh man, I haven't been asked this yet, and I was not prepared for this question. Like, there is no media training to put a spin on this. And then he had nothing when he ends his minute-long answer with, that's a really tough question.
Yeah. And
that's tough of a question. Shouldn't be.
It's also probably a tricky one for him because his unit is a big reason why.
It's a huge reason why.
The offense is playing as it is right now. And clearly that they understand that they're not what they were last year and that Landon being hurt, Cam not being the same guy, and Mekhi Becton not being there anymore, like, it's taking a toll on them. And their offense is not operating in the way that it did towards the end of last year where you felt really confident going into every game that they were going to at least, regardless of the passing game, be able to run the football effectively week in and week out. And they haven't been able to say that once this year, not alone just inconsistent. They haven't done it one time.
Right. And I will give him credit. One of the things he said in there, I actually think should be the answer to this question. It's a sigh because it's hard to pick at something they do well. Overall, and the Giants game, they did virtually nothing well. But overall this season, statistically, they have been good in the red zone. They are among the best teams in the NFL. Is when they get in the red zone, they convert to touchdowns. And as someone who watches a lot of football, not just the Eagles, but you turn on red zone or any nationally televised game, these games are not always won and lost by a whole lot. Oftentimes, it boils down to a decision the coach made in the red zone or a team coming away with three when they should have got seven. I will say that up until that Giants game, the Eagles have done that well. And that is probably, I don't know if you agree with this, that's probably the best answer to that question. If someone asked you right now, what do the Eagles do well? You say overall before the Giants game, when they get close, they convert.
Yeah, well, it's also
going to get there.
When you get inside the 2-yard line, it's pretty guaranteed.
And that's not guaranteed for everyone, but we're talking about getting inside the 20. Like they get to the 18, 15-yard line. Usually they're able to put it in for six. You can't say that about every team in the league. So if you're looking for something complimentary to say, something nice to say, that's probably where you should go. It took Jordan Mailata about 45 seconds to get there, and then he wrapped it up with, that's a tough question. Don't think he was expecting that one. I think Spike was generally trying to be positive and fair. Mailata had nothing. Huge concern. 215-592-9494. That is the number you hop aboard. Coming up next, we'll get back to your phone calls, but also Carson Wentz addressing the media was officially announced yesterday by Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell that he will be getting the start against the Eagles in a revenge spot tomorrow in Minnesota. Not the first time the Eagles are facing him. Obviously faced him, I think, for the first time it was when he was with the Commanders. But he will be getting the start tomorrow as the backup quarterback to J.J. McCarthy, who was still hurt following the Vikings' bye. What did Carson Wentz have to say about his time in Philadelphia? Now that we are so many years removed from it at this point, how should we as fans view this guy in Carson Wentz as we are watching him take on the Birds tomorrow? Give some thoughts on that and play his answer next. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein producing, filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. here on a Saturday morning, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass, 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard, talking all things Eagles-Vikings here on a Saturday morning. The next hour, we'll give you some Phillies thoughts just about how their season ended, kind of put a wrap on that. The press conference obviously was on Thursday. Very controversial for a lot of people. I didn't have too much of an issue with anything that Dave Dombrowski or Rob Thompson said. I felt like people really had the reaction to Dombrowski's comments. So I'll give some thoughts about that coming up in the next hour and just what's going on in the world of baseball right now, because Dodgers are on a tear. The ALCS has been pretty good. We got the World Series coming up in about 6 days here or so, and what that tells us about the future of the Philadelphia Phillies. So I'll give some updates and thoughts on that in just a little bit. But still talking Eagles here in hour number one. And I wanted to play something in just 1 minute that Carson Wentz said yesterday about his time in Philadelphia. But first, want to go back to the phone lines here. Muhammad, who is joining us all the way from Turkey. What's up, Muhammad?
How you doing?
Muhammad, what time is it there?
No, I'm calling from Syracuse.
I asked you if you were from Turkey. You go, yeah, I was originally from Delaware, but now I live in Turkey.
No, Syracuse.
Turkey, Syracuse, it's all the same. Well, I know what time it is in Syracuse, same time as it is here. Good morning, Muhammad. What's up?
Good morning to you, too. Not much, man. As far as the Eagles tomorrow, I think Jalen has to step up. I mean, this is – we need Jalen to put us on his back and carry us. And there's not a time when we needed that more than now, because we have issues in defense. Issues everywhere. We have issues everywhere. So I need my quarterback to step it up and carry us tomorrow.
Yeah, I would love that too. I just don't. Did you see how he played against the Giants? I don't want to say that he's not capable of it, because we've seen him do it in the biggest of moments, NFC Championship, in the Super Bowl. But the threat of a run game was there. It feels like their offense, we keep hearing this a lot, has gotten stale and predictable. It feels like other teams know when a run is coming. And so therefore, if he's passing against a defense that knows he's passing, makes it a hell of a lot more difficult than when he has Saquon Barkley there as a threat and the best offensive line in the game protecting him, as he did a year ago. I don't believe that's the case anymore.
Exactly. And I actually agree, man. I'm always worried that if there is a game that goes to a shootout, that I don't trust Jalen to prevail in that shootout. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's wrong for me to think that, but I just don't. And if tomorrow these guys on the other side, they have good wide receivers. They have a good running back that's been doing great lately. And man, if our defense is not good, our secondary is so bad, if this game goes to a shootout, I'm worried, man. I hope he proves me wrong. Other than that, it's a Jalen make it or break it game for this season, in my opinion.
Muhammad, it's hard to disagree and appreciate the call. It's a make it or break it kind of game for this entire team, and it's always going to fall on the quarterback. When the team plays well, you get more credit than you deserve. When the team's playing poorly, you get more blame than you deserve. It's not just him. This is a big game for play callers and the game plan, Petullo and Sirianni alike. This is a big game, as I said, for the offensive line and the run game and like every unit, the defense. There's not a single person on the roster, maybe Jake Elliott and like the special teams, that this isn't like a super pivotal game for tomorrow, that we are not looking to see how they respond to getting punched in the mouth twice, blowing a game to the Broncos they had no business losing, and then practically not showing up, getting doubled up in your score 34-17 against the Giants team, who we all agree is far worse than the Eagles. And they had no business losing, and when we were doing our W's and L's prior to the season, no one put any thought into whether the Eagles would get a win over the Giants, right? And now here they are faced with the Vikings on an extended week for both teams. They're coming off a bye, Eagles coming off a mini bye. They have to look good in this game, in particular against a team whose run defense is quite vulnerable. If there is a team to get the identity of this team back, to get this offense going, it is tomorrow in this spot against this team. And if they can't do it tomorrow, I think it's more than fair to hit the panic button. 215-592-9494. Now, one thing I wanted to hit here before the break, obviously the biggest storyline going into this one is the Eagles taking on Carson Wentz, who the Eagles have faced before. As time goes on, and you're going to hear this in the clip we're about to play, as time goes on, the Wentz thing wears further and further off. The number of players on the Eagles roster who actually played with Carson Wentz is dwindling. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was his backup at one point. He was asked about it this week. He gave a pretty diplomatic answer about, you know, it was nice to learn from that guy, etc. Don't think they had a super close relationship, but they did overlap. A couple of other guys overlapped. Not a ton. Here was Carson Wentz, and I'll play this and give my thoughts on it afterwards. Here was Carson Wentz being asked this week about his time in Philadelphia and what it means to be going up against his former squad.
Earlier in my career, maybe had a different feeling, but at the same time, you know, you look over there and I'm not even sure there's anybody on the defensive side that I played with. You know, it just looks different. So it's another opponent. A lot of respect for those guys. You know, there's still guys in that organization. There's a lot of good people that I still have a lot of care for and respect for. But at the same time, that feels like multiple lifetimes ago at this point. Yeah, I'm thankful for it. You know, I mean, they went and got me at a high pick, all the things. You know, it was quite the roller coaster over there. Winning the Super Bowl, even though I was hurt right here in this stadium. Like, it was – I'm thankful for so many things. I grew up as a man. I got married, had a kid while I was there. So there's so many life changes that took place there. So grateful for my time there. Obviously, it came to an end rather abruptly. All the things, everybody knows all that. But I'm grateful for all the opportunities I had while I was there. It's one of those things I don't take things for granted. I have a different appreciation for things that maybe I wish I would have had a little bit different back then. But, you know, you live, you learn, and you grow, and that's all you can do.
I'm actually happy that Carson Wentz has this type of perspective. And I hope that we as Eagles fans, as Philadelphia sports fans, can have a similar perspective. The more time that goes by, like, I don't have any ill will towards Carson Wentz. I was kind of pissed at him at the time. It felt like he had real loser energy. Like he came back the following season and the locker room interest shifted to Foles and they responded better to him than they did to Carson Wentz. And he had his click on the team, but he didn't really command a presence in that locker room the same way. And he obviously was not the guy who got them over the top to win that Super Bowl. And things just didn't work out here. And then his career really went downhill in the 19 and 20 seasons. And it just became obvious that things were not going to work out in Philadelphia. He's never been the same player since, ever since he, you know, got hurt and tore his ACL in that game against the Rams in 2017, obviously just has not been the same guy since. But I always wondered whether with age and with time and with maturity, whether Carson Wentz would look back more fondly on his time in Philadelphia. And hearing that, hearing the tone in his voice, the way he's talking there, it sounds like he does. It sounds like that when, I don't know if he'll come back, but when the 10-year anniversary of that Eagles team rolls around, if he's not, or 15, 20-year anniversary, whatever it is, whenever he's out of the league, that's maybe something, even if he doesn't come back for it, he can look back fondly and say he did contribute to the Super Bowl in some way. And I always believe that. Just because he wasn't the guy who won Super Bowl MVP or played that playoff run, I have always firmly believed the Eagles would not have won the Super Bowl that season, even with Foles at the helm, if they were not the number one seed. And Carson Wentz was the single most responsible figure in that on that Eagles team, I believe, for why they had the number one seed. I think he fully earned his ring. He didn't get a chance to finish the job and close it out, but it's like the starting pitcher who goes the first six innings and then the game gets decided later. You shouldn't forget about what he did. I think slowly this game is probably a little bit less emotional than when he played the Eagles with the Commanders, and there were a lot more familiar faces. I mean, Justin, I was going through the Eagles roster before the show of guys he even overlapped with. I mean, it's what, like Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, maybe a couple more that I'm forgetting. You know, who else did he even like overlap with? It's like five or six guys at most. Very few. It's not the same thing. Alshon Jeffery's not sitting on the other bench anymore. It's Nick Foles isn't going to be at the game tomorrow. So I actually like that perspective from Carson Wentz. And as time goes on, I think we should all appreciate him a little bit more because I don't think they win that Super Bowl without him. And that's kind of just where I'm at with Carson. Sounds like he's there. So cool story, cool revenge spot. I'll be pissed if they lose to him tomorrow, not just because it's Carson Wentz, but because it's a backup quarterback and the Eagles need the game. But I won't be pissed at him the way I would have been like the first time they played him. So interested to hear where people are at on the quote-unquote Carson Wentz revenge game tomorrow in Minnesota. 215-592-9494. That is the number how you hop aboard. Coming up next, I got some Phillies thoughts. I got to play a few things Dave Dombrowski said on Thursday, give my thoughts on the direction of this Phillies team, whether I liked it, whether I didn't like it, why I generally agree with the current direction of the Phillies. And it seems to be a controversial take, not something a lot of people want to hear right now. So I'll give thoughts on that next. In addition to your phone calls on tomorrow's Eagles game, are you entering tomorrow's game with the cover off the panic button? You can get in now on that as well. 215-592-9494. It's Buzz with you, in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Justin Morgenstein is producing. Got you for one more hour here on a Saturday morning. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard, talking all things Eagles. Throughout the first hour or so, are you entering tomorrow's game with the cover off the panic button? How excited are you for this rematch against Carson Wentz? Do you still have that ill will towards him? Do you still want to see him fail tomorrow? Or are you kind of over the Wentz thing? It feels like Wentz has a bigger perspective on this. Not a lot of overlap between the Eagles' current roster and anyone who he played with. Do you have this perspective now that he did contribute to a Super Bowl? So you can get in on that as well. And is this a get-right spot for the Eagles? Do you believe this is a pivotal, like, they need to figure it out against this particular Vikings team who does not have a good run defense? Eagles coming off a little bit of a mini bye here. They have the Giants, who already beat them last week, come on the horizon yet again next week. Do they need to find a way, get back in the win column, and avoid, if you can believe it, the chance to fall to 500 after starting 4-0 at the bye? You can get in on all of that at 215-592-9494. In just a minute, we'll give some thoughts on the baseball team, the Philadelphia Phillies, what Dave Dombrowski had to say on Thursday at Citizens Bank Park. Get into that in just a little bit. But first, let's go to Lamar, who is in Philly. What's up, Lamar?
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing great. How about you?
Not too bad. I let you guys get me riled up whenever I hear the Jalen talk. It's confusing to me. You got bad culture with players tweeting, players spitting, players doing whatever they want. You got an offense that's stale. You got a defense that's giving up 35 points. Which area do Nick Sirianni take blame for, and which area does he help improve?
No,
what's his area of expertise?
Lamar, I think the Nick Sirianni criticism is more than fair, and this is the problem with having a guy who is not in charge of play calling, and you're going to cycle your offensive coordinator in every year, and you're going to have a different play caller for Jalen Hurts each year because they leave to take other jobs. They're sought after. When you have success, people want your coordinators. It's perfectly reasonable to criticize Nick Sirianni. He's the head coach, and even if Kevin Petullo, let's say, and we're not in that room to say for sure, but if Kevin Petullo does have a lot more to do with the play calling than Nick Sirianni does, then that's still a fault of Nick Sirianni for not, like, it still falls on you, is my ultimate point. He's still the head coach. It's still fair to criticize anything that happens on the field. He'll be the first guy to tell you that. And if you're not a play-calling head coach and you handpick a guy who's within your coaching staff already to be your new play caller and he doesn't work out, then guess what? That's still a blemish on Sirianni's resume. So I think it is perfectly reasonable to criticize Sirianni's as much as anyone for why the Eagles are struggling right now.
I would go a step further with criticizing him. To me, he's so not good at his job. I call him a bus rider. He's not somebody that's driving the bus. He's somebody that's riding the bus. He can't even look at the game in real time and say, listen, Barkley got six carries. I mean, even if he can't call a play, he can't even, other than when he gets somebody score a touchdown, cheering and jumping up and hand clapping with Petullo, he can't even look at the sideline and say, hey, I haven't seen Barkley run in 48 minutes.
Well, that's where tomorrow really is such a get-right spot, which is that their play calling got all out of whack these last couple of weeks, in particular against the Giants. And it really is just so... It's why I say losing to the Broncos was like the worst spot on the schedule to have a game like that, because you really just can't change anything game to game. Like, the team you are entering the week before a Thursday night game is pretty much the same team you are entering a Thursday night game, just against a different opponent. And it's pretty clear they didn't make any changes to... Like, you almost have to prepare for the Giants a week out in advance because it is so short and you're just trying to cram everything in. That's why tomorrow is so big, because you're looking for those types of adjustments. You're looking for, and whether it's Sirianni, Petullo, whoever, like, can we actually run the ball a lot more? That was the fewest times the Eagles had run the ball since 2009, I think it was, against the Giants. Like, that absolutely cannot happen. That falls on the head coach. It falls on the offensive coordinator. It falls on everybody, all the cooks in that kitchen, so to speak. And that's the type of thing that needs to change tomorrow, especially against a team who's got a bad run defense.
I'm not even just concerned with that. I hear you're talking about the Giants game. But to me, Nick Sirianni is who he is. The best thing Nick Sirianni can do is allow Jalen Hurts and him to go back to the RPO offense. Because if you look at the Denver game, you're talking about the Giants game. The Denver game, he's up 17-3.
Well, both of the games, but the Giants game was especially bad, yeah.
Yeah, but the Denver game, you got a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you're throwing the ball. He's so out of touch. If the coordinator isn't telling him exactly what to do, I don't think he has a clue. It's in the Denver game, if you're up 14, on any level of football, I don't care if it's video, Little League, pros, most people are running the ball with a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. He's watching the passing show.
And Lamar, and I appreciate the call, that is where I would suspect, and again, we do not know for sure, that is where I would suspect Nick Sirianni makes his greatest impact on game day. You know, people question, well, what does he do if Petullo is calling plays on offense, Fangio handles the defense? It's those in-game type of decision-making. It's almost like you're a Madden coach. All right, do we go for it here or not? Like, Petullo, if there's a 4th-and-3 situation in tomorrow's game, Petullo may select which play they go with, right? But it is ultimately up to Nick Sirianni whether they go for it or not. It is up to Nick Sirianni whether to take a timeout here or not and manage the clock, or whether to challenge here or not. Or it's also his job to be like, you know, I'm calling it like a Madden coach, you can go to the run part of the playbook. Like, Petullo may be the one who physically says, hey, we should use this particular play here. But Sirianni's still on that headset, and if he wants a run play, he wants a pass play, he can interject, I would suspect. And again, if not, like, then how much impact does your head coach actually have? Which would also be a knock on him. Like, just being hands-off is not an excuse. If you're a hands-off boss, and the people who you appoint and your assistant is really running the show, and your assistant does a poor job, then it's still on you, because you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. That's why I still believe it's fair to criticize Nick Sirianni for the product you see on the field. Even if he's not the one saying, hey, sweep right, RPO left, whatever, it still ultimately falls on the head coach, and that's not just coach speak. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get one more caller here, and then we'll get to the Phils. Aaron in Denver, Pennsylvania, the Cowboys fan. What's up, Aaron?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Hey, I actually called Broads last night. We were talking a little bit about Nick Sirianni. I said it always seems like there's issues around him. Like, he reminds me of like a high school coach who kind of had a dream and he woke up and he realizes he's in the NFL. It just doesn't. It always seems scattered with him. Like, there's a lot going on. But when I was talking to Broads last night, he asked the question. He said, "Does Jalen Hurts need to throw the ball, sling the ball all over the field to win games?" And I think he does now. If the team is going through what it's going through now with the offensive line hurting, with injuries on the defense, I think he's the one who's going to have to lead the team and carry the team. And I don't know if there's any proof that he can do that on a consistent basis.
I would say that there's not. I think the identity of this team when it's at its best, is a team who runs the ball well, a team who on the line, when they're on offense, the offensive line is bullying the other team's defense, creating holes and separation and protection like no other team in the league. They have not done any of that. And Jalen Hurts is a guy who, and I've said it many times, in the biggest of moments, he is a playoff riser, and he deserves all of the credit for that. He played great in the NFC Championship, great in the Super Bowl, when, in particular in the Super Bowl, the run game was largely eliminated. But the defense was also great in that game, and the offensive line was still great in that game, and everything came together, and they dominated the Kansas City Chiefs. For him to, listen, he threw more yards than he had all season against the Giants, and they lost 34-17. It didn't really matter. Like, if you're going to run the ball six times, whatever it is, it can't be that lopsided. Like, you need the ability to do it, but they're not going to win anything, I don't believe, without, like, with the run game looking the way it is, regardless of how well, like, Jalen Hurts would have to play in your perfect game to even give them a chance to offset that kind of run production or lack thereof.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And I think Jalen Hurts, he has good traits. He has good quality. I think the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff, I think they get a lot of flack as well, because I think he is limited from a quarterback's perspective. I think he is more of a big game quarterback than the likes of Burrow, Allen, some of your great quarterbacks. But I think those guys are asked to carry their respective teams
more
and be
than
perfect
Hurts
every
is,
Sunday.
Or Hurts was.
Yeah,
like Hurts was asked to do less for the Eagles last year than those guys are asked to do with those particular offenses, which is not a knock on Hurts. It's just the fact of the matter that he had far better weapons, and they had a far better run game and a far better offensive line. And so therefore, the Eagles could just beat you in so many ways. It's what made them so dominant a year ago and what has not carried nearly at all over to 2025.
Right, exactly. I just think my personal opinion, I think the offense looks at times the way it does because I think you have to have a game plan that fits a guy like Jalen Hurts instead of say, hey, just go out and sling this and win games like this. And you want that because he has 2,000-yard receivers, he has a top two running back, and he has a top five tight end. He should be able to do that, but I think you have to adjust the offense accordingly to fit a skill set of a Jalen Hurts.
I would agree with that, Aaron, and I appreciate the call. Listen, it's Hurts was bad in the Giants game. Like he threw for a lot of yards, but he just did not. No one looked good. I don't think he's been great this season. The problems go far beyond him. Like, I'm more concerned about the offensive line and the run game and the play calling, I think, than I am Jalen Hurts. And I'm not the world's biggest Jalen Hurts fan. I don't think he's elite, or people who just said, well, he wins. Like, yes, I do believe he is a winner by trade. I think that he rises to those moments, like I said. I don't think that the Eagles win because of Jalen Hurts, say, last season, as much as the Bills win because of Josh Allen, if that makes sense. And when you take the whole picture of why the Eagles are struggling so far this year, it's like, I think it's so basic, but it starts with the line, starts with the run game. That's what they need. If I could see one thing get right tomorrow, just give me a good offensive line, a good Saquon game, and I'll worry about the rest later. If they can get that, it feels like everything else maybe will follow. If that's not the first domino to fall, I don't really see the path to the Eagles winning a whole lot of games or continuing to be a Super Bowl contender this season if they can't figure that aspect of it right on a mini bye week here against the Minnesota Vikings. 215 592-9494. All right, we'll get back to the phones. We'll get back to the Eagles talk in just a little bit. But we're still trying to grapple with the Phillies season ending. And it feels like forever ago at this point. It was only, what, 9 days ago? The last time the Eagles played was the last time the Phillies played. In the time since, the Dodgers clean swept the Milwaukee Brewers in a series that began on Monday, wrapped up last night in a sweep. In case you were feeling bad about the Phillies offense, the Brewers set the record for the fewest hits in a seven-game series ever, I believe I saw. 14 hits in the whole series. There was a point, Justin, last night in the seventh. It took until the seventh or the eighth inning last night for the Brewers to have more hits in the whole series than the Phillies did in Game 3 alone.
Yeah, I mean, they
one
just
of the
got,
least competitive series ever.
I mean, the Dodgers are 9-1 in the postseason right now, and what they've been able to do with their pitching staff in terms of getting guys healthy and then putting them in the bullpen, like, people forget, Phillies faced Tyler Glass now out of the bullpen in Game 1. I mean, and
yes,
he's been unbelievable this postseason. What they've been able to do with Sasaki after he gets hurt, then he's in the minor leagues, and now he's out closing games with 100 miles an hour and a splitter. He's just been, the staff has been incredible, and they're, you know, carrying them to a World Series right now. They lost one postseason game in three series, and it's pretty remarkable.
Dodgers are a freight train out of control right now. They will be a heavy favorite over whichever team they get. The ALCS currently 3-2 in favor of the Seattle Mariners. They are one game away from making it to the World Series for the first time in franchise history. Very different story from the Dodgers, who I think won their 26th pennant last night. So, you know, we'll see if they can finish it off. The Blue Jays haven't been to the World Series, I think, since they beat the Phillies in 93. So it's going to be new blood in the AL, not so new blood in the NL. And the Dodgers, I couldn't even believe this when I heard it last night, but it is true. They're the first team to win the World Series and just make it back to the World Series with a chance to defend their title since the 08-09 Phillies. And no team, and no team has defended successfully defended a World Series title since the Yankees three-peated in 98 through 2000.
Yeah, Kansas City made it twice in a row, but they won the second time.
They
and
won
lost
the second
the first time.
Yep. And the Dodgers made it twice in a row, but lost both of them, 17 and 18,
yes,
I believe. So there have been teams who have won back-to-back pennants. I'm not saying that, but a team who has won the World Series and come back to make the World Series the following year has not happened. And all of that to set up, which is, I had almost no issues. For anyone who listened to that press conference, and I listened to every second, I actually watched every second of it on TV, Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson, I had no issues with anything Dave Dombrowski said Thursday. And I had very little issue, I have very little issue with the general direction of this franchise as a whole. Like, first of all, you want honesty in a press conference? We preach, like, we want honesty from our sports figures here in town. That Dave Dombrowski press conference on Thursday, Justin, might have been the most honest press conference I've ever heard. I don't know if he told a single lie. Obviously, he didn't put, like, he can't tell every little singular truth, but that was about as honest as you will ever see an executive coach or player in sports today. He was blunt. He threw Matt Strom right under the bus. He said what we're all thinking about Bryce Harper, which is like, I don't know if he's the same guy anymore. He minced words with nothing, and people got pissed at him for saying that we ran into the wrong team with the Dodgers. He might be right. The Dodgers might not lose another game the way they're playing right now, and the Phillies might be the only team to, like, give them any type of competitive series. People laughed, some people did, saying that the NLDS between the Phillies and Dodgers might have been the World Series. It really might have been. The winner of that series was going to be the clear favorite no matter what. And I'll start off with this also. I am as upset as anyone the Phillies aren't playing right now. Anyone ever listens to me, follows me online, knows that I live and breathe baseball from day one of pitchers and catchers to whenever they stop playing. It pisses me off that I'm watching baseball because I love baseball through the end here, but it pisses me off the Phillies are no longer going. It really, really irks me. But it is for those very reasons that I don't want to see the drastic changes that it feels like so many people are calling for, right? I don't want to go back to losing baseball. I don't want to go back to, forget, you know, what they were like 2012 through 2018, really in those mid-2010 years where they were just flat-out non-competitive. I don't want to go back to winning games in the 80s. Like, I believe that with a few retools, I'll call it. And I do think we will see more change this offseason than we have in the last three offseasons from Dave Dombrowski. Among the honest things he said the other day was he basically gave an answer that told you they're not dying to bring Nick Castellanos back. They're going to try on Schwarber. They're going to try on Realmuto. They're going to try on Bader. Maybe they move off a guy like Alec Bohm. Maybe someone like Marsh moves. But there could be 2 to 3 spots in that lineup that look different. You want change? Like, that could be the change. And for everyone who's saying, oh, there's drastic changes, and if I've complained about this 1,000 times already, I am so sick of the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results cliche. I'm flat out done with that. Change for the sake of change, just because you're fatigued by this era of Phillies baseball not finishing the job in October, is not a logical way to operate. It's not how Major League Baseball teams operate. And I want to play two clips for you here. And one is something that Dombrowski said a couple of weeks ago, and one is something that Dombrowski said on Thursday. I'm going to go in reverse order. I'm going to start with Dombrowski said on Thursday. I thought the most telling quote he had in the entire press conference, my biggest takeaway here, is what Dave Dombrowski said in this answer in particular about keeping this core together that people are so fatigued by.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Keeping a core together. I looked at this because myself the other day. I think that if you look back, the Atlanta Braves, who had a core together for many, many years, made the playoffs 14 straight years and won one championship. The Yankees have been in the postseason 20 straight, or they missed 1 year, 20 times in the last 21 years. They won one championship. The Dodgers, until just, and of course you had the COVID year, they had a lot of years together with the core, and they won last year. And they've made some significant financial investments. They've done a great job, and they've picked the right players. So I don't think it's so much the core if they do well. But you also have to have that core, which you go back year in and year out, to continue to work hard, to continue to be driven, which I know our guys are. But you have to perform at the big levels at the postseason, which isn't always easy. And that's like when I saw this Dodger pitch, and it worried me going into the series. Because I watched some of those guys throw before we got here, and they got their guys healthy and right at the, for us, the wrong time.
I started this segment off by saying that no team has gone back to the World Series the year after winning it since the Phillies did in 08-09. No team has repeated as World Series champion in a quarter century. Baseball's the only sport of the four major North American sports where that has happened, right? The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions right now. In the NBA, there's been a little bit of parity lately, but I can think of numerous examples in the last 10 to 15 years of teams who won back-to-back titles. The Warriors did it a bunch. In the NFL, the Chiefs went for a three-peat last year in the Super Bowl. The baseball playoffs are random like no other sport is. And the Dodgers right now are the exception, not the rule. And I'm almost, Justin, I know a lot of people, like, they've been doing it on the afternoon show, and Jack's owning it, saying that he's doing the loser thing of rooting for the Dodgers so you can say they lost to the eventual champion. I'm going the other way. I'm rooting for whatever American League team does it, not just because I'm rooting for the underdog, not just because if the Mariners make the World Series, I'll be rooting for a manager whose name is Dan Wilson, because I want people to realize that if this Dodgers team is capable of losing the World Series, then truly anything, and it won't be my prediction, but I want it to happen, then truly anything is possible in the baseball playoffs. This sport is so random, and it is so clear, and he mentioned he got the stat a little off. I think they've made it 13 of the last 17 years. Last time they won the World Series was 2009. The Braves thing he got right. They made the playoffs 14 years straight from 91 to 05. They had one World Series to show for it. The Yankees, like I just said, have one World Series to show for it in the last 17 years. The Dodgers, until they won the COVID season, which a lot of people didn't even count, and then last year when they signed Shohei Ohtani, would win the NL West every year and would never win the World Series. And then finally they've gotten over this hump here, and they look like a juggernaut out of control, which is the exception to the rule of the last 25 years in the sport. The baseball playoffs are random. There are so many examples of teams who just stay competitive, stay competitive, stay competitive. They retool parts of the lineup, and then finally they're just the last team standing. I heard Derek Jeter say it on Fox this week that in baseball, the best teams make it to the postseason and the hottest team wins. That should be the strategy for the Phillies. They're not that far off. It's very possible they're going to be the team who gives the Dodgers the best fight of anyone, right? And the starting pitching staff that is pitching out of their mind right now went toe-to-toe with the Philly staff. And the Phillies offense, guess what? It wasn't good enough, but it was a hell of a lot better than the Brewers was, and there's a good chance it's going to be a hell of a lot better than whatever the Mariners or the Blue Jays throw up against them. All these people who want change for the sake of change, fire Rob Thompson, fire Kevin Long, because of what it looked like in a four-game series, you know, best of five, but what ended up being a four-game series, I just don't think is the way to operate. And the one last clip I want to play here, and I keep coming back to it, the way we fans think is in terms of they lost in October, therefore everything needs to change. Those are the most important games. Baseball, more so than any other sport, makes off-season decisions based upon what happens in the regular season, 162, the less important games, but much larger sample size, more so than what happens in the postseason. This was Dave Dombrowski on with the afternoon show prior to the postseason even starting. They didn't even know they were playing the Dodgers yet. I mean, it was on the horizon as a good chance, but there was no playoff matchup set at this point. And Spike flat out asked him leading into this answer, does postseason performance impact what you do, in particular with free agents in the offseason? Here's how Dombrowski answered it.
Not normally, no. I don't think so, because unless they get hurt, that would affect it. But, I mean, they've all been good players throughout not only this year, but for many years. And so I don't think it makes a big difference. You're going to see the guys the same way. I mean, it might give you a little bit more, great feeling at particular times when you're sitting down and talking if somebody just put up huge numbers in the postseason. But the reality is they're good players, and they're going to be good players no matter how they perform in the postseason. Now, I hope they put up some big numbers for us, because sure would make it a lot easier for us to win.
That type of logic, that type of mindset, not only applies to the players on the team, it applies to the manager. I think it applies to the hitting coach, who had objectively had a really good regular season. The offense went cold for three out of four games in the postseason, right? That's why they're keeping it together. That's why they're, again, there will be changes. They're getting rid of the guy in right field, who he was also really honest about. He got asked, you know, what happened with the Castellanos situation. He admitted he had to get involved and came just shy of saying that he's not going to be back next year. This core is going to stay together. They have no other option with the money they have invested in this team. They won 96 games a year ago. They can win in the 90s again next year. And they can be one of the teams in October, and hopefully you just got to get hot at the right time, and hopefully they can figure out a way to survive and advance in this crazy October tournament that is the baseball playoffs, and not make irrational decisions, emotional-driven decisions that a large part of this fan base wants them to make on the small sample size at the end versus what we saw over 162. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in on any of that, your thoughts on what Nebraska said the other day, the direction of this franchise, if you're just fed up and fatigued with the Phillies, I get it. I understand it. Just don't think it's how they're going to make decisions. Don't think it's how they should make decisions. Also with the Eagles, is tomorrow a cover off the panic button type of game for you? I think the Eagles absolutely need to play well, look good, and win this game in Minnesota tomorrow against a backup quarterback in Carson Wentz. Coming up next, getting back to the Eagles here just a little bit, A.J. Brown asked this week about the current vibe of the team, the vibe of the locker room, coming off two consecutive losses. And he did something in this answer that I think is a pretty clear sign. When you hear an athlete do this in a press conference or in a media scrum, I think you know that things are not necessarily going great. What is it? I'll play what A.J. Brown and how he answered that question next about the vibe of the team. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein producing. We are in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. on this Saturday morning. Couple segments left to go here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494. That is the number. How you hop aboard. All right, so I teased before the break something A.J. Brown did in a media scrum this week. And Justin, I'll go to you for a ruling on this, but I think he did something in this question. It was our very own, not our very own, but Odyssey's own, KOAW down the hall's own, Dave Uram, Bulldog Uram, as we like to call him, asking A.J. Brown just, you know, what is the vibe of this team right now? What's the energy like in the locker room coming off two straight losses? Are they feeling the pressure, so to speak, going into this Vikings game? And he does something in his answer that I think is like, it's a go-to deflection for when athletes get asked stuff. And just take a listen.
What's the vibe of the team as you guys try to write the ship?
You tell me. You listen. What you think? Sound normal, huh?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, normal, exactly. So, you know, we're not letting a loss just humble us, and you know, you can't let it humble. You got to keep going. You know, and continue to find ways. You know, this team is fine. This team is motivated and trying to get on the same page.
AJ, what do you see as the main issues with the offense?
Self-inflicted wounds. Sometimes just lack of execution at the wrong time. You know. You know, if it's first down and you get lack of execution, may not be the end of the world. But when it happens on third down or, you know, puts us behind the sticks, you know, that's hard to recover in this league. So I just think just being on the same page, the communication, and lack of execution. You know, so.
All right, so the second question he answered there is what every athlete says. Like, it's self-inflicted wounds. It's stuff we can fix. It's no credit to the opponent. It's just we're screwing up. The first question, Justin, where Urim asked some, you know, what's the vibe of the team? Anytime an athlete goes, you tell me, do you usually hear athletes go, you tell me when things are going well?
So
it's like a go-to deflection, right?
There's been one other person that I've seen answer a question like that as of late, and it has not gone well. And that was after Penn State lost to UCLA. Drew Aller was asked if Penn State is still a playoff
and
team.
And he goes, you tell me,
he
right?
goes, what do you think?
What do you think?
Yep. So clearly, it's not a sign that things are going well.
It never is. Wait, what athlete, when things are going well, ever asks the reporter's opinion? No one's there. No one cares, all respect to Uram, about his or any other reporter's opinion. You're the athlete. You tell me. Does it seem normal to you? What's your rim supposed to go? No, it feels really off.
Yeah, and I think AJ's officially in a spot where his hands are just up in the air, and he's like...
It's like, what do you want me to say?
Whatever, I'm going to... You know, you guys are going to ask me these questions every week.
You tell me. I don't know.
And until he has a stretch to where we've seen, like, in 2022, 2023, where he's a dominant receiver and he's one of the best in football, I don't think we're going to see a happy A.J. Brown. Well, and he's putting on the best face he can right now.
And combine that with the report from Diana Rossini that Devontae Smith, understandably, not thrilled with his role in the offense.
Well, and
either.
He's been as quiet as long as he possibly, because he's a good soldier, and he's been as quiet as long as he possibly
could. He's a lot quieter
than
A.J. Brown. Doesn't mean internally he's like, hey, give me the damn ball, I'm better than this. Right? Like, everyone's got an ego at some point. Everyone wants to help the team win. And once you start not winning, and you feel like having the ball in your hands more would help you win. It's one thing to complain when everyone's winning and you can say, what are you complaining about? Once the team starts losing, you're exactly right on that Drew Aller comparison. I remember after UCLA, they said, oh, are you still a playoff team? He's like, yeah, what do you think? Yeah, of course we are.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Once the athlete deflects the question back, it's they're trying to buy time for a real answer. That was a big red flag for me. 215-592-9494. All right, one segment left to go. We'll get back to the phones. Also, we'll give my official score prediction, Justin will as well, for Eagles-Vikings tomorrow in Minnesota. Returning to the scene of where the Eagles won their first ever Super Bowl as a franchise. Super Bowl 52, which Carson Wentz had a hand in, obviously did not play in that game. Nick Foles was the star on that day. Eagles playing a game of slightly lower stakes tomorrow in Week 7 against the Minnesota Vikings. So some closing thoughts and a score prediction on that. We'll also update you on a few other things happening in the world of sports before we get out of here and hand things over to Rob Ellis and Tom Kelly. 215-592-9494. It's Buzz filling in for Devin Caney and Ruben Amaro Jr. Justin Morgenstein producing Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Buzz with you. Justin Morgenstein is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is the number how you hop aboard. A couple more minutes before we hand things over to Rob and Tom here. A few other updates in the world of sports. Sixers preseason finale was last night. Joel Embiid looked great. Finishes 14 points, 5 for 10 from the field. 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Sixers open the season Wednesday night in Boston. If you're willing to allow yourself to get hurt by the Sixers one more time or actually pay attention to them. He's actually healthy. We're not ramping up to start the season. Looks like he's going to be good to go on Wednesday, Justin. Get excited.
Dude, Edgecombe looked great last night. Maxey looked really good. And you know what? I'll say for a preseason game, that was probably the most fired up I've been over a preseason game in some time.
This two big man lineup with him and Adembona?
Yeah, we'll see how long that works. I think they'll probably, once McCain is back, they'll go 3 guards. And once Paul George is back, obviously, that'll probably round out the starting lineup.
They're starting that way. So they get underway on Wednesday against the Celtics. I believe their home opener, I think it's Friday against the Hornets.
Saturday against
the Hornets. So they will be returning down to the sports complex very, very soon. Flyers in action tonight against the Minnesota Wild. They are 1-2-1, I believe, on the season thus far with 3 points. So looking to get back in the win column tonight for the Fly Guys. No baseball tonight because the Dodgers wrapped up the series last night, and this is the ALCS travel day. So Dodgers in the World Series, which will not kick off until Friday. World Series is not something they can move up. It's pre-scheduled dates. So World Series will begin Friday, and the Mariners and Blue Jays, that series shifting back to Toronto, Seattle with the 3-2 series lead. So if they win either one of these games, they are headed to the World Series. If the Blue Jays needing 2 wins at home to try and get this thing, you know, first to a Game 7 and then to win the series and head to the World Series against the Dodgers. If the Blue Jays are to win the ALCS, they will have home field. They would host Games 1, 2, 6, and 7. If the Mariners win this series, the Dodgers would host Game 1 and host the series starting on Friday night. Obviously, Eagles-Vikings is tomorrow. And I think we covered everything else that's going on in the world of sports. We will give our Eagles-Vikings prediction in just 1 second here. Justin and I will. But first, we'll wrap it up on the phone lines with George in Drexel Hill, who had a thought on the baseball team. What's up, George?
So you thought you really gave the Phillies a good reason not to win in next year either. Very good. I use that every year. You just gave them a way out.
No, I'm not giving them a way out, George. I'm just saying that there are other teams historically who stay competitive, and that is a... So what
do you care?
What?
You care about other teams? The Phillies are...
No, I don't care about other teams.
Other team. They're different. They should have... That was their series to lose. Not when they should have won that game. Those games.
It was their
never lost a game. Did you?
They should have swept
the
defending George. George. They should have swept the defending champs and the best team in baseball.
They should have won every game. He was that coach. He called himself Topper. I'm sick of that. He's no Topper. Let me tell you something right now. He's an inept coach. I'm telling you
manager,
right now.
But yes,
to
okay.
Sign him back to my prediction, 75 years of watching baseball. 75 years of watching baseball. Let me tell you something. I could have coached that team to a championship. I'm serious. That's my prediction.
You could have managed to win over this Dodgers team. You think
the
that?
Dodgers, they're so predictable. It's unbelievable.
So I could, you're saying I'm letting him off the hook. Are you letting the Stars off? You think the loss was on Thompson? Not. How about Bryce Harper not showing up for the series? Trey Turner not showing up for the series? Kyle
right.
Schwarber not
showing. You're right. They didn't show up.
Okay.
And Thompson should have.
So we should trade all of them, right, George?
Thompson should have realized that, especially game four. Game four was a telling sign. When you had first and third, and you're going to walk a Tanti batting 183 in this
game. Oh, my God. George, I got to let you go. Last night is living proof that walking Ohtani was absolutely the correct decision. That guy had the best performance maybe in the history of baseball, striking out 10, hitting 3 home runs, and people wanted, because he had a poor couple of games, wanted to try and face him as opposed to any other hitter on the planet. Rip any move you want of Rob Thompson's. I was critical of him after game one, doing the up-down with David Robertson. Thought he should have started the inning with Strom. I was critical of him in game two, like everybody else was, for the bunt. The one move you did not hear me criticize at the time, and you will not hear me criticize now, is his decision to walk Ohtani. That's on Duran for walking in a run. Not you absolutely walk Ohtani. Barry Bonds was once walked with the bases loaded to bring in a run. Ohtani's that good, you'd probably consider that at this point. My goodness, how could you possibly have watched or even seen what happened last night and your takeaway be like, what are you doing walking Shohei Ohtani? My God, by the way, really quick, I saw this from Jason Stark, and then we'll give our Eagles predictions and get out of here. In more than 50 years, there had not been a ball hit out of Dodger Stadium to right field. It's now happened twice in the last week. Schwarber and Ohtani. What a weird sport. Just what an absolutely weird sport. All right, Justin, give me your Eagles prediction. I'll wrap it up. We'll hand it over to Tom and Rob here.
All right. So, like I said, I think tomorrow is going to be a game where they have to get the running game right, and I think they're going to because this Minnesota team is susceptible there. I think it's the way they're going to have to score points. I think they're going to win 21-16. I think the defense does just enough to be able to stop them in the red zone. I think that while Justin Jefferson and Addison present a problem, I think QB and health is huge. I think they squeak it out 21-16.
I got a similar type game. I think they win 24-20. Don't think it looks great. I think the take on Monday is the run game got going a little bit. The defense was bend, don't break. And people are just, it's going to be the epic battle of, hey, they got back in the win column, be happy with it. And they still don't look great. I'm not buying this team. I think that's what we're headed for. On Monday morning, I think this team wins tomorrow 24-20, but does get back in the win column. All right, that's going to do it for myself. Thank you so much to everyone who called in. Always happy with you on this Saturday morning time slot. I will be back with you next weekend. Devin and Ruben will be back in this time slot next weekend. Specifically, I'm on Saturday night. Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis, stay tuned for them. They are next. I've been your host, Buzz. Thanks so much to Justin Morgenstein for producing right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.